We began yesterday discussing Onah, Onas Mamon, Onas Dvarim. We explained that Onas Mamon sometimes is confused with a price gouging statute, a statute against charging too much. By much, we mean more than some fair price. That's not what Onah is. Halacha does actually have some price gouging statutes. There are Takanas Drabanan. They're pretty limited. They're limited to staples like flour or cooking oil. But that's a very limited Takana. It doesn't apply to general commerce. In general, Onah is not about price gouging. It's about prices that diverge from the market prices. So a key rule in Onah is, the poskim explain, based on language of the Gemara, is ba'onah ein lecha el makom v'shaitam. Onah depends on the time and the place. There's not some kind of objective fixed price. It depends what the price is for this object in this particular place. That is what determines Onah. And generally, the poskim explain that even within one place, you can have different kinds of stores. You can get a Coke will be one price in a pizza store, one price in a convenience store, one price at Costco. At the beach, you might have another price. The little push cart guy selling cold Cokes at a beach might be more. But if that's the price at the beach, that's Makom v'Shaito. The price is always determined by how much this object is being sold for in this place, in this time. And you know, it sounds like a fairly simple rule, but the poskim do actually debate various cases, various interesting cases where somewhat debatable how to define Makom v'Shaito. In Shakespeare's Richard III, famous line, a horse, my kingdom for a horse. You have to get away from the battlefield. The horse is worth anything, otherwise you get captured or killed. So there's actually a discussion in the Gemara about this, about whether there is Onah for a sus b'melchama, whether someone who's desperate for a horse, for armor, for other things in a battlefield, is there Onah? Not exactly clear how we paskin. It seems that we paskin that there is Onah for such a thing. And again, the idea would seem to be the battlefield does not have separate prices. You're desperate, so you'll pay a lot of money for a horse. But that doesn't mean if an entire city, because of wartime shortages, the price of military-grade horses has skyrocketed, that's the price. But if the point is even in the city, even right now, the horses are still not that expensive, just you right now are stuck, that doesn't become a new makom and a new shah. That is still a question of Onah. So Zachoshin actually discusses the question of medicine or something that people would pay arbitrarily high amounts for because they're desperate, because they really want it. Is there Onah or not? The Ksos debates this. The Ksos tries to bring a raya from similar cases to the horse. The Gemara talks about a person wants a certain jewel because it has to match another jewel. We paskin again, there is Onah. The fact that you want something, that doesn't mean the shahr changes. The shahr is what it is. The fact that you're desperate and you'll pay more doesn't change anything. So the Ksos argues that the same thing should apply for medicines. Onah v'shaito is what it is. Your personal preference doesn't change that. But again, there's some confusion and some debate about that in the poskim. One particularly interesting case of Makom v'shaito involves a classic story about how the Rothschilds made their fortune. It's not actually a true story, but it's a popular story and a fun one. The story goes that during the Battle of Waterloo, where the fate of England hung in the balance. If the British would be victorious, the empire would survive. If not, they would be in big trouble. So English bonds on the English government, were the value would depend on the outcome of the battle. They didn't have Twitter and phones. So nobody knew in London, nobody knew what the price for the bonds was going to be. Nobody knew who was going to win, who was winning at Waterloo. The story goes that Rothschild had the best intelligence network around. Pigeons, according to one version of the story, he knew before anyone else did that the British had actually won, defeated Napoleon at Waterloo. So he knew the prices of bonds was going to skyrocket. So what we would have done, we would have just bought bonds. But he was one step ahead of us. He first sold bonds, and everyone thought he was the great Chacham. Everyone thought he must have known the British were losing, so the price of bonds plummeted. Then he bought up a huge supply of bonds at a song, and that's how he made the famous Rothschild fortune. Now, it sounds fun. It sounds like a clever Jewish thing. This was actually apparently an anti-Semitic story that was first made, these clever, sneaky Jews. It's not apparently a true story one way or another, but the question is, would there be Onah in such a case, if you were buying or selling bonds, in such a case, you have information that nobody else has. So in London right now, the price of bonds is X. There is information that's going to come tomorrow over the wire, over the Pony Express, wherever they had there, that's going to change the price of bonds, but right now the price is what it is. Do we say Makom v'Shaito is the price that it actually is today? Or do we say Makom v'Shaito is based on better information? This is something which is actually much debated in the Achronim. many different kinds of, not this particular case of Waterloo, but many other cases involving new government legislation that hadn't, the news hadn't reached the provinces, new taxes, new price controls, all kinds of different scenarios. And there is considerable debate in the postkim about whether Makoma Vashaito is defined as the actual price or what the price would be if proper information was had by the local community of buyers and sellers.